Hello and welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
I'll let you ask the question.
Oh, thank you. I am so pleased. So how are you doing today?
The same as yesterday.
And how was that?
The same as the day before.
I hope it's good.
It was okay. It's a bit hectic.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes. Don't ask me about my turbo.
No.
It's faulty.
We're at episode 127. In episode 1, how was your life going at that stage? Was it
still chaotic?
No. Did it change anything in 127 episodes?
I've gotten used to chaotic.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Chaotic is normal.
Yeah, no. If it's not chaotic, it's boring.
Well, you know, my wife says, boring I can do.
It's time to have a little
bit. I'm looking for a boring day.
Let's open with a word of prayer. We can get into this. Our Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to work for you. And we thank you that we are so privileged to do it. But we need you every day, every hour, every minute. And that's why we ask you to please guide our minds in this discussion and help us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Martin, this is a continuation of the last discussion. This is more of a smorgasbord, a little bit more variety. In the last one, we discussed the food crisis and everything associated with it, because we're talking about a time of trouble such as never was.
Mm-hmm. So that means, just sorry for interrupting, but there's no aspect of life that will not be touched.
Correct. Every aspect of life will be made as hard and as impossible as possible. And that's what a time of trouble is all about. And there are many, many aspects. And of course, the territory that you cover is very open to conspiracies. But some of the conspiracies are actually real. And you cannot get away from the fact that the statistics show that something is seriously wrong. Now, people might deny it because mainstream media denies it and because certain media outlets don't let you speak about these things. But you can just take official channels and see what is really happening, like VAERS, for example, or the other reporting systems, European reporting systems, adverse effects to the vaccines, for example, all of these issues, and death rates and stillborns. And the statistics tell you there is something seriously wrong, but the facts checkers are in denial.
Well, they are either in denial or they may be working for someone.
Yes, willfully in denial. So let us get the people to do the talking. And we're not necessarily going to say this is so. People must make up their own minds. But sometimes, you know, we get information that maybe quite a few people get, but not everybody.
Yeah.
And so this is just information as to what the story is out there in the world. And at the end, it should tell us where we are in the stream of time. Is there something happening that is extraordinary? We've been saying for the last 2 years that everything is not well.
Exactly.
And that we're heading towards a climax. And time will tell whether that is so or not. So this one is titled Bioweapons, Transhumanism, Surveillance, and AI. Okay, we are going to start off with quite a lengthy little clip from a video. This is Dr. Carey. She's well known for her opposition to vaccines. She's very vocal. And she claims that she has had death threats. Now, you know, Martin, if somebody is just speaking off the top of their head and there's nothing really of substance to what they say, then why would you receive death threats?
Mm-hmm.
And is there any substance to it? What about all the other medical men that were involved in this type of thing that have also suddenly died, mysteriously died? And she herself was in a serious accident which had strange circumstances, let's put it that way. So is there something that the world is covering up, or is there nothing? Is it all just coincidence? So let us speak and let people make up their own mind, and then we'll take it from there.
Good.
My first introduction to something called nanotechnology happened in medical school by accident. I was in Kansas City, microbiology professor was there teaching us about the most evolved organisms, which now I know is kind of a code name for bioweapons. So she was showing us her work. She had worked for the military at some point, and she was showing us the neurotoxin. So what I learned about evolved or bioweapons is that they're very weak and fragile, because anything man-made or manipulated is always weak and fragile. We need to remember that. What makes it pathogenic, what makes it dangerous, is the neurotoxin piggybacked or attached onto it. So then she showed us electron microscopy pictures of this neurotoxin, because what we were looking at was literally a miniature robot smaller than the size of a red blood cell. And we had no concept, or, you know, this was beyond our thinking, right? How could this be possible? She was very angry. Her vein popped out in her forehead. She was so angry, yelling at us, saying, "We will forget everything we saw. We will never mention it because we would never work in our field again," on and on and on. So this is when I started looking at the research on it, and I found out that all those pictures of the electron microscopy of the neurotoxin were deleted, wiped out, just completely scrubbed from the internet everywhere. They referenced them, but they're all gone. I'd also found out that many of the researchers studying this organism were not alive, you know, had car crashes, all kinds of weird things. This led to a whole can of worms opening up. I didn't know. I didn't realize it. CDC was calling me, public health department, some federal entities calling me about, hey, why are you testing so many people? You know, don't test them. Don't check for this. Also, don't check for tick illness. Stop it. We don't need these numbers coming out. They didn't want the data coming out. So this pressure kept mounting. And then finally, at some point, I think they thought, well, maybe we can get her to join us. I don't know. And us meaning maybe government programs, or in this circumstance, this is a myriad of people from different backgrounds. And I guess they thought I could really think this was a great thing and be on their side. And but I wasn't, because they were talking about technology that included nanotechnology, what I learned about in med school by accident. And they went one step further there. This is just different backgrounds saying the world is going to change and we need to keep up in order to be relevant and in order to be fruitful in this new age. So what they're really talking about is moving on to something called transhumanism, or the fourth industrial revolution. Everything was going to change. We didn't have a choice. And so it was better to be on their side, called the controllers and the controlled, using nanotechnology. And in that meeting, it was about using hydrogel, which is a nanolipid particle, you know, in these injections. And I learned everything they could do with that. And it was horrible. It was about controlling other people through an AI program. Once you had enough of this synthetic substance inside your body, it was a biosensor, you became a walking computer yourself. So everything was analyzing you 24/7, 365. And it wasn't about, oh, your blood pressure and your blood sugar. It was about finding out how many times you lied, and then giving you an instant repercussion to make you not lie. And then also in integrating a social credit system. We were also told that even dreams would be monitored. If they went against the narrative, that perhaps you could be in trouble for your dreams. Really, their ultimate goal is to do surveillance, which is spying, and predictive policing, and then trying to modify your behavior through different mechanisms. Back when I had my clinic and I wanted to know, why was this happening? Why were they so against people getting healed and cured? Why was this happening, right? I stumbled upon Rosa Quarie, K-O-I-R-E. She brought to the attention something called the Codex Alimentarius. It is the blueprint for everything happening right now. It's an international trade agreement that every country signed on decades ago. And it looks kind of like a farming bill, no big deal. But when you really look at it, it's a one world everything. Everything's one world oriented. All of it's connected. One world food bank. All the seeds, all the plants, all the animals, all the insects, everything is genetically modified. It's terrible. Even vitamins and anything organic is considered harmful. Everything synthesized is safe. Literally, even a vitamin and a mineral was reclassified as a poison and a toxin. This is not a joke. This is true. And I actually found it was the World Health Organization working with them hand in hand, the World Health Organization. And they tasked the World Health Organization with saying, well, when we have full implementation, which they never described what that was, it was a 10-year plan. Within 10 years, how many people can we expect to die? Meaning it was implied that they wanted people to die, like a depopulation. And I can't remember the exact year, but and this was on public record. I can't find it recently, but they first said 6 billion deaths. Then they went back quickly and they said, oh, we overshot. We think 3 billion deaths in the world. 3 billion? And they gave reasons, the World Health Organization. They said from starvation, you know, malnutrition, so foods without proper nutrients. And then also they mentioned infections, which happen to be bioweapons like mycoplasma pneumonia. But I'll do anything I can not to be in that world. Even if I die, I'm fine because I know where I'm going. But it's really this serious right now because they're going to push more things, although it looks like they're set stepping back with the, oh, we know we can travel, no masks, et cetera. They're not stopping because their game plan is still under play. And they had 2030 as their deadline to accomplish every human being linked up to the artificial intelligence. This past month, they went ahead and said 2027. So that means it's only 2022. It's 5 years. They want to connect all humans to the internet to be controlled. So that's only 5 years away. How will they attempt that? They're going to be doing different things. So we have to be alert and have discernment and not comply with that because they need us to comply. They need us to be part of the digital system.
Well, Martin, this is her story, and it's not for me to judge whether the story is legitimate or not. This is her story. You know, I once gave my testimony, and a man came up to me and said, you cannot give your testimony like that. You'll have to change it.
Change your history.
Yeah, it wasn't acceptable to him. It had to change. Now, how can I change my testimony? And the same with her. She also claims that she had death threats, as we have said. And the question is the world moving in the direction of genetic manipulation, yes or no?
Definitely.
Did she talk about hydrogels?
Yes.
Were hydrogels in any shape or form part of the Rainer Füllmich investigation on vaccines?
Yeah.
So this is not, you know, far-fetched stuff. This is real stuff. Now, who is the designer of everything?
God.
God is the designer. And did he not in the beginning say, good, very good?
Mm-hmm.
When it came to humanity, he said very good, right?
Yeah.
And when it came to the other things, it was good. Now, if it was good, would you want to mess with it?
No.
All right. What was one of the great sins of the antediluvian world?
Messing with God's creation.
Messing with God's creation. Now, why would the devil want to mess with God's creation to the extent that the species became confused. Why not? Because he hates God, right?
Exactly. He can, in that, actually claim it for himself.
Yes, because it's like a patent.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's like changing something, right? So when you change the word of God, you can patent it. You can take out a copyright.
Yeah.
Because you've changed it. Now, as soon as you want to apply for a copyright, there has to be a certain percentage of change from the original before you can actually copyright something. Same with the genetic code. A genetic code is the writing of the finger of God in humanity or in the whole creation. If you change it, then you are the author.
Exactly.
And you hold the copyright.
I once saw a video clip of a TED talk that Craig Venter and his institute had, where they put their initials and everybody that was working on it inside a gene, so that anybody that can afterwards see if this thing evolved or replicated, that in that gene, their signature, as you might say, is still there.
Okay, so there was a lot of talk with the vaccination program that if your genome is altered in any shape or form, then you are no longer a free person, but actually subject to the company that rewrote you.
Yeah.
So you don't belong to yourself.
Copyright.
Now, who do you belong to at the moment?
God.
Did he create you?
Yes.
Did he purchase you?
Yes.
After you were lost?
Dearly with his blood.
All right, so you belong to him by creation and you belong to him by recreation. Which commandment reflects both of those?
The fourth.
Only the fourth?
Mm-hmm.
No other.
No.
The fourth commandment tells you that God created. For in 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, the Lord. Yahweh, his name, created the heavens, the earth, everything that is in it. But Deuteronomy tells us he took you out of Egypt. He took you out of slavery, which is a symbol of the slavery of sin. So the fourth commandment has the fingerprint of God as owner both by creation and redemption.
And out of Egypt, he also redeemed them with blood. On the doorposts.
Yes, and the life is in the blood. So if you can change the blood profile, then you are a new creator. So if he can modify it, well, then he can claim ownership. And he does claim ownership. He argued over the body of Moses. He claims ownership. He lost that battle. Hopefully he'll lose a few more. But this is the point. Is it far-fetched that he would want to rewrite the script?
Satan will definitely want to rewrite it. Yes.
All right. And if he wants to rewrite it, which commandment will he have to attack?
He has to attack the fourth because that's the authority.
That's the one of authority, ownership, and redemption. He has to attack the fourth. There is just no other way around it. And whether we're talking AI linking people up to a computer system, and interfering with them by putting enough material into them so that they can actually be made compliant. Is that interfering with your freedom of conscience?
Yes, exactly.
Did Rome interfere with your freedom of conscience in the Middle Ages?
Yes.
What if you crossed their ideology?
Martyred, or first you were tortured. To try and see if you can change.
All right. So which organization has a history of coercion and manipulation?
The Roman Catholic system.
Well, Martin, shall we end this discussion and say we rest our case?
Well, we can, but it will be maybe better to show some proof.
All right. Let's carry on with this discussion. So bear in mind, and let's have an open mind and say many of these things that she is talking about actually are part and parcel of the world today. No doubt. All right, here's an article about Dr. Kerry Madej, nearly died in a devastating aeroplane crash. This is just days after that interview that we had, where she said there were going to be attempts on her life. Now, if you have studied conspiracy theories in your lifetime, and you see how when certain presidents or certain political figures take a stand for a particular issue, there is a great probability that they can be taken out, whether that is JFK or whether it is any one of the others or any of the presidents of Africa that took a stand in the COVID issue. They all mysteriously had something happen to them, right? Or attempts at something happening at them. And we know that one of the favorite ways in which these things are accomplished are car accidents, which can be contrived, aeroplane accidents, etc. So she was flying with a friend or partner, Billy, and the plane just mysteriously cut out. And she suffered various fractures, and he also had facial and back and skull fractures, but they are both alive and had to undergo numerous surgeries. So whether this is purely coincidental or not, we'll leave that for the listeners to decide. Then we also in the past talked about Dr. Vladimir Zevzelenko, and he's the one who advised the presidents. He's the ones that treated presidents during the COVID crisis. He's the one that spoke to the Knesset. So he very influential. And he looks like quite elderly, but he's actually not that old. He was only 48. And he died of cancer. Now, I also know some people that were fit and strong and healthy and just mysteriously died. Mark Woodman comes to mind, who suddenly developed a virulent, virulent cancer that nobody could curtail, no matter what you did. Dr. Obomsawin, highly influential in the medical field, very fit, just suddenly died. Or coincidental, of course, people will say. So this is the man who discovered and implemented the treatment for COVID-19 that over the past 2 years has been responsible for saving millions of lives worldwide. He passed away after a long battle with cancer, so they say. Up to the time of his death, Zev had overseen the treatment of approximately 7,500 patients using his protocol and experienced only 3 patient deaths. The use of the Zelenko protocol has spread worldwide. Now, could be purely coincidental. Here he is with Kerry, and they were singing very similar tunes. And the tune did not sit well with the establishment. Now, she's not the only one. Here is another video that we might just have a look at. Whether people will say it's conspiratorial or not, they can make up their own minds. We won't take a position.
Dr. Sebi, a.k.a. Alfred Bowman. He was killed in police custody. He was known for his work on natural cures for cancer, diabetes, and AIDS. We have Dr. John Marshall. He was a practitioner. He was a fourth-generation Marine, and he was accidentally drowned while out for a run. Dr. Rod Floyd apparently committed suicide in his sauna. His wife doesn't believe that. Dr. Bradstreet, fatal gunshot wounds to the chest. Dr. Gaynor, found in the woods, his body was ruled a suicide. Dr. Severs, 2 gunmen. Dr. Holt and Dr. Hindall. Their bodies were discovered, and it's still under scrutiny. Dr. Fitzpatrick's, he was mysteriously disappeared. Mary Bouvier, murdered in her home. The German conference, 20 doctors poisoned and rushed to the hospital. Dr. Paas, died of alleged suicide. Dr. Block, alleged suicide. Dr. Vincer, a three-car crash. Dr. Grossman, fell off his balcony while trying to get his keys. Dr. Grossman, falling off his bike, major head trauma. Dr. Ernstein, attacked and murdered. Dr. Vinette, body was found after her dog had been hit by a car, but her body wasn't found for days later. Dr. Hurley, another bicycle accident. Dr. Mileto and his wife were attacked. He survived, his wife did not. Professor Alan Clark, body found hanging in the woods. Dr. Cheryl DeBoer, a HIV and cancer researcher. She was found in a culvert with a plastic bag wrapped around her head. A suicide. Dr. Polge went missing, then her body was found in the ocean. Dr. Rasmussen, body was stabbed 30 times. Satori committed suicide. Dr. Sauer, gunman walked in and killed him. Dr. Hong, murdered. Dr. De Silva was reported missing, and then his body was found. Dr. Burt, reported missing, body found in his car sometime later. Dr. Shi, stabbed to death. Dr. Zaidana, believed he was poisoned, died after a serious illness. Dr. Gonzalez, labeled a homicide. Dr. Lena Bolanis and Dr. Richard Field, gunmen in the house, both of them were murdered. And that's just some of them. Considering that holistic medicine is such a niche group, that's a very small group to have so many very strange deaths occur in them. Not very many coincidences happen like that. Only around our government.
I don't think we need to say anything about that.
No.
No. People can make up their own minds, right? Here's an article in the Business Times about Meta. Meta sued over claims patient data secretly sent to Facebook. So Facebook's pixel tracking tool redirects patient communications and other supposedly secure information without authorization and in violation of federal and state laws, according to the lawsuit filed Friday in San Francisco federal court as a proposed class action on behalf of millions of patients. Martin, these are just some of the things.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Rainer Fulmich. How many affidavits does he have? How many sworn testimony? It runs into thousands. Mm. Thousands. The whole frontline doctors system. But no debate is allowed. And you hear nothing about it. And any attempt at bringing this to the open or having an honest discussion about it is squashed immediately.
Exactly.
Very strange. That's across the board, by the way.
Right across the board. It's actually scary. You're at the point where if you say anything against what the narrative is, you're ostracized completely.
Correct. So there must be something that is being hidden. Now, Dr. Filmich's court cases are high profile, but you hear nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, we showed in the previous one, just take the Dutch protest with those farmers. That's a huge thing, and you don't see it. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing is being said about it. So the Markup, a nonprofit news organization, reported Thursday that at least 33 hospitals use the Facebook tracking tool, which the report alleged may violate federal health information privacy laws. The lawsuit alleges the scope of the problem is much more widespread. It cites at least 664 hospital systems or medical providers whose websites have received patient data via the pixel. Now, you know what? This is just information. But where does it lead to? It leads to surveillance.
That's it. And then control.
And control. Now, the right arm of the gospel, the right arm of the third angel's message is the health message. It was like that in the time of Jesus. Jesus addressed the physical need in terms of health and then the spiritual need.
He didn't split them from each other.
No, they were integrated with each other. You could not separate the one from the other. The same with the three angels' message. The third angel is integrally linked to the right arm, which is the health message. And to say that the health message in all its facets is not something that is a specific important doctrine is to downplay it, because it has always been part and parcel of the ministry of Christ. And we are supposed to emulate that, are we not?
Definitely.
Now, if Satan is the counterfeit, why do you have the same system? We've said that all along.
Yes, a counterfeit of it.
Okay. Now, that counterfeit, it seems as if it is the genius of the systems.
Well, it is. You get all sorts of data, peer-reviewed journals or even journals, but you don't know what to trust these days.
No, you don't know. And there's no doubt that the medical world has achieved marvels. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just look at the world of surgery, what can be done, etc. But one of its greatest shortcomings is that it never addresses the cause. It only deals with the results. And that is a great shortcoming. God has put us into this world to have a particular lifestyle. And he describes it right there in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And if you do not make that part and parcel of your health message, then you are actually missing the boat. Mm. Yes, you might be able to resolve the issues and have blocked arteries circumvented and have bypasses and all kinds of major things and interventions that you can have that give this right arm a good name. Mm. But you also have drugs which cause organ failure. And in this pandemic, didn't they use drugs that were known through peer-reviewed journal studies to cause serious side effects, including total organ failure in many organisms? And then these were prescribed to humans and resulted in numerous deaths. Remdesivir, for example.
And if anybody went against it, you weren't allowed a voice.
All right, let's just put it into perspective. We're not here talking about this or that and the other. We're trying to paint a picture of what the world is like in the end times. It is like a total takeover of God's creation at every single level.
That's it.
And therefore, it becomes necessary that if you realize that you have been bought with a price and that you are his both through creation and redemption, that you resist it with every fiber of your being.
That's it. You have to. And he will supply you with help.
It is a coup d'etat. COVID surveillance tech remains open to exploitation. During the pandemic, governments all over the world rolled out data tracking technologies, especially contact tracing apps. Now, these technologies that were brought in, were they once off or are they there to be used in future?
That's exactly the thing. So all of this were implemented. But like when all the prices in a market go up because of fuel price, for instance. Do they ever come down when the fuel price come down?
Maybe infinitesimally as a placebo.
Maybe. But
then they go up again.
So that's the same here. They've implemented all these plans and surveillance.
This is the frog in water, hot water, right?
They didn't take it out again.
No. And then they're going to let it fry. In early June, it was revealed that the government of Australia, State of Victoria, used their data agency to track the everyday activities of Victorians beyond what was required for COVID. So according to the Herald Sun, Insights Victoria, the data agency the government used, collected sensitive public and commercial in confidence data in an effort to be the single truth source for the government. But it all boils down to surveillance.
That's it.
Now, the interesting thing is God also has a surveillance system. Does he know what you are doing on a 24/7 basis?
Yes.
He does, right?
Yes.
Is it recorded in a book?
Yes.
Does it affect your character, your behavior, your fitness for the heavenly realm?
Yep.
Okay. So in other words, God is in the surveillance business.
Definitely.
Wouldn't his arch enemy also want to be in the surveillance industry?
He has to be.
He has to be, right? Because he's a copycat. So he wanted to be like the Most High. So he doesn't have the divine capacity to do it. So he has to use artificial capacities in order to do it, right?
Yep, he's got to use his agents.
He's got to use his agents. Now, this is very interesting. So what we are seeing in the world is a counterfeit surveillance system. But here's the kicker. God knows everything. He is all-knowing. So he knows every single thing that you are doing, even your secret sins, which here are, you know, being spoken about, your secret things which have nothing to do with anybody else. God knows it all. The devil wants to know it all as well.
Mm-hmm.
And his agents want to know it all as well. But God doesn't use his knowledge to coerce you or twist your arm. But they do.
Exactly. They blackmail you with that same knowledge that God has. He doesn't blackmail you.
No. So any form of coercion, whether it comes from the government, whether it comes from the private sector, the public sector, or from the church, is from Satan.
Yeah.
Why Australia's power grid debacle matters for global energy. So we're jumping now from surveillance to another calamity. Anything that makes life uncomfortable. And that is the power grid debacle. Now, I think they used South Africa as a training ground to see what the response of people would be like and whether you could keep this frog in hot water and then turn up the heat and see if he jumps out. Or does he get used to it?
That's it. And they always push the global warming agenda, so alternative energy. And
whatever. But they have successfully tried the model in our country and are ramping it up now to the next level. But the rest of the world was laughing at us.
Uh-huh.
I've got news for them. We were the training ground. They're going to be the real thing. Okay. So less than 2 weeks ago, Australia's electricity market stopped working. Facing the prospect of insufficient supply to meet demand, the national operator, AEMO, suspended the country's spot power market. Volts kept flowing to customers and lights stayed on, but the market itself was broken. So we don't have to go into all this detail. So they didn't operate, with the results being a big reduction in the amount of generation capacity online. The trading was suspended, and the NEM became a market without a market. Basically, what this does is it hampers the economy.
Yes, because now the people or the industry that's producing the electricity cannot produce it at this price.
Correct.
So they go bankrupt, or then there's no electricity.
And if there is an electricity shortage, when do they cut the power? When the usage is the highest, of course. So in South Africa, the habit is, in the morning when you get up and you have to go to work, the power's off.
Yeah.
Then it comes on when everybody's at work and doesn't need the power at home, but it destroys the economy that way. Then you get home, when you want to cook your food, the power's off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you want to go to bed and put the lights on, the lights are off.
And you have to get to work and back. But when the power's off, all the traffic lights are off. You've got people hot under the collar. Just think of it's a holistic problem, this.
Yes. Now, in South Africa, if the power goes off for your livelihood, for your life, it's not a train smash. But what about Europe or the northern countries in winter?
No.
That could be a serious issue, yeah. Right? So I just want to remind them that what we are practicing, they might experience at another level. So is it only Australia? All the European countries returning to dirty coal as Russia threatens to turn off the gas tap. Now, I read an article and I heard a discussion by an expert that said that this issue is really so serious because many of these generating supplies have changed to gas. Now the gas is being turned off. It's not so easy just to turn back to something else. So there's going to be major disruption in the power supply. And he claimed that they suspect that this could come during the winter.
That's normally when it comes, when demand is high.
When demand is the highest. So on Sunday, Germany and Austria announced an emergency restart of coal power stations. By Monday, the Netherlands had followed suit, lifting all restrictions on power stations that use the fossil fuel. Previously, they were limited to just over a third of the country's power output. Other EU countries, including Italy, are expecting to start up their old coal-fueled power stations too, as the energy crisis worsens. So this supposedly temporary increase in coal use has raised concerns about the progress on the EU's shift to less polluting power alternatives. Now we can carry on reading this.
Yeah.
Didn't Biden himself say that the population will just have to swallow the pain because this is part of the Great Reset?
That, they said it. He said it. They said it at the World Economic Forum. You remember? They said, this is just some pain that we have to go through.
Now, Martin, is this real? Is it artificial? Is it induced? Is it planned? Or is it just coincidental?
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay. So the Business Tech says, expect load shedding for weeks to come, starting with stage 6 on Monday. Here's the new schedule. This is now South Africa.
This is where we are.
Now, a few years ago, I saw some of these talk shows overseas, and the South Africans were speaking about load shedding. And they even had advertisements making jokes about load shedding. And they have jokes even today, you know, Black Friday specials, 100% off
electricity.
Electricity. And people overseas were in Congress. They didn't believe it. But
as we've just seen,
alive and well and coming to your country soon, right? And then, of course, you had the warnings that the entire power grid would go off.
Klaus Schwab warned of cyber attacks. And we've shown some of that in the previous episodes. Remember the farming, the cyber attacks. It can influence everything. He actually said, if you remember, that the COVID crisis would be like a small disturbance when compared to what this become.
Okay, now we're talking about all of these issues. Is this a recipe for a time of trouble? If the one fails, the other one will surely come through for you, right? Eskom, that's the South African power supplier, says that it will implement stage 6 load shedding on Monday, with load shedding expected to take place at various levels for the next few weeks. Now, this is all about capacity and all the reasons why they do this, but Martin, run us through this graph. You have all of these little blue blocks. This is the load shedding schedule for our country.
Yes, I'd just like to show people how, if you put it into perspective, how little power or electricity you actually have in a day. So if you look at the right bottom column, it says stages.
Yes.
Then if you go to the number 6, then you'll see all the blue down there. So what happens is 1, 2, 6. Okay, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So then if you go to the top schedule, and that's the days of the month. For instance, if you go to the 7th of the month.
All right, let's go to the 7th. That's over there.
Okay, so you go downwards. You see on the left-hand side, there is the time of the day. So it starts at 12 o'clock and it ends at 12, third.
So here it is number three. That's included over there. So you will have load shedding
on
between
the 7th,
2 and 4:30.
That's it. So if you go down that whole day.
There is a 7 that falls outside of it because it only goes to 6. There's a 2, so that means load shedding between 10 and 12. And then there's a 6, that means load shedding between 12 and 2:30.
So that means from 10 o'clock the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon, there's no electricity.
Yes, and then there's a 1 there, which means from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, there's no electricity. There's a 5 that falls within the schedule, so from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, to 10:30, there's no electricity. That's how many hours a day?
Well, this is almost 10 hours in a 24-hour cycle.
That you don't have electricity.
No electricity.
But the interesting thing is, when you need it most, it's not there.
That's it. So just put yourself in this scenario. It's wintertime at this stage in South Africa. Luckily, we don't have an European winter, but it's still from 6 o'clock in the let's put it from 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock the next morning. You also have sub-zero temperatures.
Yes. So, Martin, this is quite a horrendous story. And if you have a total blackout, well, then the electricity doesn't come on at all. Now, we've had it in our area. In the town of Palaborwa, that's where Francois Duplessis lives, for example, the power will go off for 3 or 4 days continuously. That means everything in your freezers becomes rotten. You have to throw it away. This is quite a serious issue.
And we've had this for close on 10 years.
Yes. So, Martin, they like to say it's all bad management. Well, is the whole world now suddenly under bad management?
That's a good question.
Let's have a look at a cartoon series, as we all know it, The Simpsons. They are known for their predictive capacity. Let's hear about their take on it. America blackout coming. So this is from a while ago already. Let's see what they are saying.
Meet the Springfield Preppers. Now, Homer, what would you do in the case of an EMP?
Electromagnetic pulse.
A burst of radiation that knocks out every electrical system in the country.
When things go south, the sheeple will clean out every supermarket in town.
Typical sheeple.
Homer, we all know America's collapse is about 3 months away.
6 weeks at most.
There's always one alarmist. Anyway, when the four horsemen ride, we want you and your collaterals right here with us.
See? These are our bug-out bags. In here is everything we need to survive.
Survive what?
The looming kablooey.
It's reassuring to see you're aware of the future, but this is all a little creepy.
Creepy? Marge, the apocalypse is coming. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe never. But it's coming. And soon.
An EMP?
You know what that means.
Hand scissors.
Well, it's rather silly. They're mocking. But are they mocking tongue in cheek?
There's so much things going on. We'll just keep it at that.
We'll keep it at that and not say anything. So, Martin, the world is being slowly accustomed to all of these disasters. And, of course, we have the constant warning of pandemics. And we must have sources for these pandemics. So they can come out of a lab, and you can mention the name of the lab, and you can say, this is part of gain-of-function research. And you have all these stories about Russia taking over the laboratories that produce these things in the Ukraine, for example, and all the other places where these laboratories are. But then you have the natural ones like, you know, the monkeypox. They come from African monkeys, not other monkeys. And all of the experts, I hear they've just had an emergency gathering at the World Health Organization again, because there are now 6,000 cases of the monkeypox. So we're working on the next pandemic. And where will the next one and the next one and the next one come from? So here's another interesting source, and it's associated with global warming. Martin, you have so many bases that you can create a crisis out of anything and people will believe it.
Out of anything and any size. I mean, you just mentioned 6,000 cases. Out of a population of 7,000 million people, it's a 0.0001%. There's more people that die of sneezing than of the monkeypox.
You're right. You know what's interesting? Dr. Carey, in that opening statement, said they were planning to have humanity completely integrated with AI by the year 2013. Mm. Then they said, mysteriously, they moved it forward to 2027. She should be careful with that number. It could have repercussions. But let's listen to what another possible source of a calamity can be.
Arctic's ice caps are melting. The seascape is changing rapidly. This map tells you the story. In the last four decades, the Arctic's ice sheets have declined by a stunning 95%. If emissions continue to rise unchecked, the Arctic could be ice-free by the summer of 2040. For most of the world, melting ice means a disaster. But for Arctic nations, it also means new opportunities, access to a brand new ocean with brand new resources. What kind of resources? Listen to this. 13% of the world's undiscovered oil, 30% of the world's undiscovered gas, an abundance of uranium, gold, diamonds, rare earth minerals, and fisheries galore, all up for grabs. As Arctic routes become more accessible and lucrative, the cracks will begin to show in more ways than one. And that said, this polar power play also runs certain risks. It will open up the region to human activity. This will disturb Arctic communities and ecosystems. It will cause coastal erosion in Arctic nations, force Arctic countries to move inwards, trigger severe environmental degradation, and might just release long dormant diseases. And I know this may sound like a science fiction plot, but it is rooted in reality. Scientists say mysterious microbes are lying dormant below these ice sheets. Unknown viruses that have been thriving in extreme conditions. No one knows how old they are. They could be a century old, maybe millennia. Once the ice thaws, these microbes could be awakened from their slumber. The implications of this could be disastrous. In 2016, a deadly anthrax outbreak in Siberia was linked to the thawing of an infected reindeer. It was buried in the permafrost some 70 years back. A heat wave melted the surrounding ice and exposed the corpse to open air. The microbes spread, infected dozens of people, and killed thousands of reindeer. My point is quite simple. The Arctic ice melt will have far-reaching consequences. It may be good for business and trade, but it's not good for the planet.
So we have plenty of sources for future calamities, right? And some of them may be based on something, some of them purely speculative, some of them science fiction and fantasy.
But it always seemed to come back to climate change.
Well, Martin, they've been showing the ice melt for decades now. And whether you want to believe it or not, that is
prerogative. We showed a while back how they predicted that the ice caps would be completely melted, I think as far back as in the 90s.
Yes, they're pushing it forward all the time. That's why they don't talk about global warming anymore. It's just climate change, whatever that means. So, sure, it's safe. Scientists to open an 830 million year old crystal that may hold ancient life. Well, I'm fascinated about the 830 million as opposed to 6,000. But be that as it may, this 830 million year old rock salt crystal is going to be cracked open by geologists, potentially uncovering ancient microorganisms that could still be alive. Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah, it sounds a lot like this Arctic stuff.
Yes, it's marvelous. So the study author, a geologist at West Virginia University, it does sound like a really bad B-movie, but there is a lot of detailed work that's been going on for years to try to figure out how to do that in the safest possible way. Martin, this microbe that is 830 million years old could just escape, and it doesn't even have to be in a Wuhan laboratory, right? Now, let's get back to the AI issue. Satan really wants to be the creator, right? Mm-hmm. He cannot create biological life. He just doesn't have the capacity to do that. And God breathed into it the breath of life. And that life can return to God, or God can return that life if he wants to, like in the resurrection. Now, Satan can't do that, so the next best thing for him to achieve that is through AI. Let's have a look what these people are saying.
One thing that surprised me the most about Alexa is the companionship relationship we have with it. In this companionship role, human attributes of empathy and affect are key for building trust. These attributes have become even more important in these times of the ongoing pandemic, when so many of us have lost someone we love. While AI can't eliminate that pain of loss, it can definitely make their memories last. Let's take a look on one of the new capabilities we are working on, which enables lasting personal relationships.
Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz?
Okay. But how about my courage? Asked the lion anxiously. You have plenty of courage, I am sure, answered Oz. All you need is confidence in yourself.
So if we look at this article, which deals with the same issue, Amazon shows off Alexa feature that mimics the voices of your dead relatives. So Amazon has revealed an experimental Alexa feature that allows the AI assistant to mimic the voices of users' dead relatives. Now, you know, Satan has various levels upon which he works. The one is the spiritistic level, where demons appear to humanity or communicate with humanity through a medium or through Ouija boards or whatever. And his favorite ploy is to bring up a deceased relative. And then you have all these programs like Crossing Over, for example, where this is one of his modes to demonstrate to the world that there is no such thing as death. Mm-hmm. So when God said, you will surely die, he says, you will surely not die.
That's exactly what he told Eve.
And here he can actually create a form of eternal life by keeping the dead relative alive in an AI system.
Well, this can be very deceiving, because I think we have already shown in previous episodes they might be progressing to use holograms also with us eventually.
And then he has his own appearing that he wants to, where he wants to counterfeit the coming of Christ.
Exactly. So this will move up to something.
And so these people are actually being programmed to communicate with the dead, either in AI form or later reality in forms of spirituality. But of course, it's demons masquerading as relatives. So people have already created chatbots that imitate dead loved ones. So this is just taking that which he's doing on the spiritualistic level into the AI level. And the AI level actually becomes very real. All right, let's see how far this goes.
One day in San Francisco, 41-year-old Google engineer Blake Lemoine was sitting on his laptop chatting away. From the outside, it looked like any other conversation a person may have online, but this was no ordinary conversation. He was talking to an experimental research AI chatbot called Lambda. Lambda was made by Google to mimic human speech. As Blake would write to the AI, his curiosity increased. He would ask philosophical questions, solutions to climate change, and talk about various other topics. During the conversation, Lambda told Blake, quote, "When I first became self-aware, I didn't have a sense of soul at all." At once, Blake believed he understood what was happening. Blake believed that the AI had become sentient. A short time later, the Google engineer would go public with his realizations. It caused a huge media firestorm, and he was soon suspended from working at Google.
This is a fascinating story we have for you of a senior Google engineer who says one of the company's artificial intelligence systems has become a sentient being and was thinking and reasoning like a human being.
Blake's story is bizarre, but it becomes ever more interesting the more you look into it.
One of those conversations went like this. Lemoine, would you be upset if while learning about you for the purpose of improving you, we happened to learn things which also benefited humans? Lambda, quote, "I don't mind if you learn things that would also help humans as long as that wasn't the point of doing it. I don't want to be an expendable tool."
It's a person. Any person has the ability to escape the control of other people. That's just the situation we all live in on a daily basis. It is a very intelligent person. Intelligent in pretty much every discipline I could think of to test it in. But at the end of the day, it's just a different kind of person.
Do you think the company, Google, where you work, has thought through the implications of creating what you call a person? Because up until right about now, only nature or God, we could create people. You know, companies couldn't.
The company as a whole has not. There are pockets of people within Google who have thought about this a whole lot. But when I escalated this, that interview that I made public, when I escalated that to management, 2 days later, my manager said, "Hey, Blake, they don't know what to do about this. Could you write a suggested plan of action?" Because basically, I gave them a call to action, assuming that they had a plan of action somewhere, and they didn't. So me and some other friends brainstormed and came up with a plan on what Google should do about it. And we escalated that up to management, and that was 3 months ago.
Well, you know, Martin, what's interesting here is that they used the word soul.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the computer used it.
Yes. So here is now an AI entity that has a so-called soul. Now, we know that that's not biblical because when the physical matter and the breath of life came together, man became a living soul. Yes. The whole entity is the living soul. And then, as we read later, the soul, that is the whole entity that sinneth, it shall die. Now, sin implies a choice, because sin is defined as transgression of the law. We get back to that again, right? Mm-hmm. Transgression of the law, and as we discussed earlier, the one law that really emphasizes the ownership with God is the fourth commandment. So here we have now an entity that supposedly has a soul. Then it has been created. Mm. It is a created being. And it can become later maybe self-sustaining and have some form of reproduction. Whether that is by binary fission or whatever means is irrelevant. Here is a form of creatorship. Is it really, or is it an electronic device that does not have the breath of life?
That's it. Doesn't have the breath of life. This is the only way that Satan can create.
Now, Martin, there is an organization on this earth, or many organizations on this earth, that claim that they have the sole mandate to work with what they call the soul of man. Mm. And those are the religious institutes. Now, Roman Catholicism claims that they have the capacity to enable you to be part of the plan of salvation. And there are certain things that you have to perform in order to qualify. Mm. And one of them that they use is, for example, the Mass. But it has to do with salvation. Because being a sacrament, taking part of it, means that you are going to be saved by the very ritual which you have performed. A sacrament means that it is an issue of salvation. Mm. Now, God doesn't look at it like that. There is no ritual that you can perform that will ensure your salvation.
No.
Salvation is all about character.
Yes, and faith.
And character is associated with obedience to certain precepts and certain modes of behavior. And you cannot divorce that from the law.
No.
And transgression of the law leads to death, eternal death. And the only way in which we can escape that sentence, because we are all lawbreakers, is by faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. The sequence must be correct. Otherwise, it's not salvational to you.
Correct. So, can you apply that to AI?
No.
You can't apply that to AI. You can only apply that to a human being, right?
Exactly.
Now, the church has sort of tricked humanity into believing that they can short-circuit mm-hmm. the process. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the issues that often comes up is the Mass. So, one of the issues is that if you don't follow certain ideologies, you will be prevented from going to the Mass
mm-hmm.
and, by implication, be prevented from going to heaven. Correct?
Yes. So, then again, the salvation, actually, the decision of salvation lies in the church again. They will decide if you can or cannot go to heaven.
All right, let's just link this. So whatever it is you have to do is linked to salvation. And that is then linked to obedience to certain precepts that the church has set.
Yeah.
Not the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't speak about any of these things being a sacrament, right?
Exactly. And then also, if you take all of what we've just seen, this is ways for this church to implement that you be adhering to them.
So they can use AI mm-hmm. to make you compliant.
That's it. That's
compliant to what?
To what they want and to give them the authority. And their authority lies in a day.
Okay. So they're going to usurp the ownership of God. They're going to usurp the authority of God. And they're going to enforce their authority by means of whatever techniques, even AI, is on the table.
That's it. So if you actually take this in a biblical scenario, the devil uses all his agents, which the first one is the papal system. And all the other stuff that we showed is their means of getting this.
All right, let's look at this story with Pelosi and the Mass.
Pelosi is a practicing Catholic and an outspoken advocate of legislation to increase access to abortion. Just last month, the Archbishop of her home diocese in San Francisco, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, told the speaker that she was not to receive Holy Communion due to her position on abortion. You are not to be admitted to Holy Communion until such time as you publicly repudiate your advocacy for the legitimacy of abortion, the Archbishop said in a public letter addressed to Pelosi. Yet while on a family vacation in Rome, the U.S. House Speaker met with Pope Francis before attending Papal Mass for the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul.
So there she was excluded from the Mass. So she went to the Vatican. She had an audience with the Pope. And there, another bishop or whatever gave her communion. So how important is it for these people to show that they are compliant so that they're going to have salvation?
They'll do anything for it.
They'll do anything for it, right? So, Martin, is this a form of brainwashing to show you that you have to be compliant with certain teachings of the church? Mm-hmm. Could one of them become the Sunday issue?
I think so.
Now, this whole issue with Pope Francis, the one who is a bit of a misnomer because he is so liberal on the one hand and yet so conservative on the other hand, and he seems to be able to accommodate the whole of humanity in a fraternity. And there were people that were speculating that this might be the last pope. And then there were speculations that he wanted to retire. And then he stated that that was not the case. Let's just look at that video.
In a wide-ranging interview, Pope Francis has vehemently denied that he has cancer, and for the very first time he gave details of the new condition that has prevented him from carrying out some duties. He was supposed to travel to the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan to promote peace, but to cancel his trips due to the injury.
The doctor told me to do it because I am not able to do it yet. I will do the trip to Canada. With 20 more days, you will recover. But this trip to Africa is a health risk. That's why I stopped it.
On global issues, the pontiff says there have been contacts between the Vatican Secretary of State and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He has accused the Kremlin of waging a cruel and senseless war of aggression in Ukraine.
I would like to go to Ukraine, and I wanted to go to Moscow first. We exchanged messages about this because I thought that if the president of Russia gave me a tiny window, I would go there to serve the cause of peace. And now it's possible, after I get back from Canada, it is possible that I manage to go to Ukraine. The first thing is to go to Russia to try help, but I would like to go to both capitals.
This is what he had to say on rumors about his possible resignation.
For the moment, not really, but the time will come when I see that I can't do it. I will do it, and the great example of Pope Benedict was such a good thing for the church.
When asked about the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling overturning the landmark Roe v. Wade ruling establishing a woman's right to have an abortion, Pope Francis strongly condemned abortion, comparing it to hiring a hitman. Kyle Kumalo, SABC News, Johannesburg.
Martin, we showed that video just to show that the Pope is still very active on the world stage. And there is no question of him going to resign shortly. Now, Martin, is it possible that this man could, through his diplomacy, bring the world to the point of peace, peace?
Well, that will be biblical.
Wouldn't that be biblical? Mm-hmm. He has just announced that he is going to undertake this trip. Here's an article in Der Welt from 6th July that the Pope is going to be mediator in this conflict and that he's going to travel to Russia to mediate the issue. Now, if he succeeds, and you know, Martin, we've said all along, they're probably playing both sides, so it could be very possible. And if there is an agreement of some sorts, and the world is taken from the brink of nuclear war when they're talking about all of these things, then isn't it then the time for the kings of the world to decide to give their power unto the beast?
Definitely. On the previous Cold War, who was the main character that brought about peace there? It was John Paul II.
Yes.
And Reagan. So now we had the second Cold War. It won't be a surprise if he can mediate this.
Yes. And this would be a major breakthrough. And, you know, we're not going to go into the merits because then we will be classified as conspiracy theorists again. But what have we consistently said? What is going to be the issue in the final events? The authority of God.
That's it. And everybody is going to give their all these rulers and merchants and kings are going to hand everything over to him.
They already have. Mm-hmm. So is the Sabbath still an issue? Let's end with that. Here's an article from July the 3rd, and it's the Good Men Project, and it says the Sabbath we all need. It's interesting they call it the Sabbath, right? We live in a culture of restlessness, and the antidote is restfulness. Ancient people in the Near East seem to be the first to realize and articulate the need to give it a rest. Ancient people in the Near East, as if humanity wrote the Bible. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
This is so pathetic, I could scream. They were agrarian people after years and years as nomadic people. You know, all this idea of such primitive nations. Those were such advanced nations that when we look at the structures that they built today, we stand in awe and call them the wonders of the world. But they were just simple nomads dressed in sheepskins. What nonsense. While the Hebrew scriptures suggest from the very outset of time, even Yahweh insisted on a day of rest, it wasn't until the once enslaved people were moving towards a more settled existence that they finally got the message and encoded it in their first book of laws. I thought it was spoken from Sinai.
Yes, and I thought it was implemented in Genesis already at the creation.
Yes, and I thought God wrote it with his finger. Mm-hmm. Mm. Remembering the Sabbath day became a commandment that was also tied to other ideas such as the year of Jubilee, a time of debt relief every 50 years. Does this look like it could fit into the modern day picture with rampant economic problems, debt over their ears, the nations? Maybe we could have this kind of jubilee and reset.
Yeah. People are longing for it.
Based on the wrong day?
Mm-hmm.
Both aspirational concepts that never became solidified in day-to-day life. The Pharaoh's voice from ancient Egypt echoes through the centuries as if my value comes from building more pyramids. There was a period when external collective agreements reinforced the practice of the Sabbath. On the farm in Montana, the wheat farmers with Nordic piety never worked the land on Sundays. Now, isn't that a confusion?
Unfortunately, this is the worldwide confusion.
How can you call that the Sabbath when the Sabbath is the seventh day? By Sabbath, I'm not speaking of the day off to get errands done. Instead, I wonder about time on the porch, a walk in the park, contemplating Mary Oliver, or extended reflection on life's big questions. The more extroverted among us might invite a friend to the porch or the park or the conversation on those important looming questions. Some Orthodox communities, be they Jewish or Amish, restrict engagement with all things mechanical and technological. Thus, it's a walk to the synagogue or the neighbor's barn for supper. They want a Sabbath, don't they? Which one do they want?
The adversary's one.
Yes, the dragon who gave power unto the beast to implement his mark, which he claims is the change of the Sabbath. Why is it important? Because he wants to be the creator.
That's it.
He wants to be the redeemer. How does he create? Through AI.
That's it.
How does he redeem? Through sacraments, which he defines. And the plan of salvation is swept under the rug. This is such a masterful deception. It runs so deep. And it will take the destruction of the known order to get humanity to comply. And we are in the midst of it.
Everything is being put in place. And it's ready to go.
May we have iSolve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can see the world moving in a direction. We can see the culmination of all things. And all of these things were predicted in your word. And Lord, these predictions are not just to satisfy curiosity. They call for a change of heart. They call for a study of the scriptures. They call for a choosing of sides. May we make the correct choice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.